talking with the experts.
So how, as a business owner, can we get unstuck? I mean, how do we become unstuck in our business, especially, you know, if we feel a bit stalled or there's a, you know, business comes to a bit of a plateau?
Yeah, so all of our businesses grow in these different curves, right? Sometimes ups and downs, right, with seasonality or whatever's going on. But if we zoom out in general, when we see growth, it comes in these S curves. We all love that idea of that hockey stick growth where sort of everything just goes up and to the right. Well, if you fast forward in time, that up and the right at some point starts to flatten out and becomes a plateau. So our goal as a business owner is to stack these S curves up. So as one's plateauing, the next one's taking off. But that takes strategy, right? And planning and being proactive, not just reactive. Because it's not a matter of if we get that plateau, all businesses of all sizes do hit that.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson. Talking with the Experts is all about business, by business owners, for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. And don't forget to click and subscribe so you can get further information about our future episodes. My guest today is Jeremy Shapiro, and we're going to be talking about leveraging the mastermind to grow your business. Jeremy is a mentor and coach to entrepreneurs. He's a serial entrepreneur and helps founders find entrepreneurial freedom as a true business owner. An important distinction that many entrepreneurs can easily miss when working in their business instead of on their business. For over two decades, through structured masterminding, one-on-one coaching and consulting work, Jeremy has been helping entrepreneurs discover the core strengths in themselves and their business and attain the freedom that they deserve. Jeremy, it is such a pleasure to have you on Talking with the Experts.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's a great start with doubling up on things, but never mind. We got there in the end. Jeremy, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a serial entrepreneur, and I've been running my own businesses for over 25 years. During that time, all my businesses have always been in the service of fellow founders and entrepreneurs who want to move towards what we call entrepreneurial freedom.
Oh, okay. That was short and sweet. Very good. How did you start doing what you're doing?
Well, you know, my first, when I say real business, was in high school. And by real business, I mean, we had, you know, multiple customers, we had multiple team members. We were, you know, had a sales process figured out and we're actually building a real business. Of course I had, you know, many of those fun childhood businesses, but that was like the first real business and things really scaled from there. And again, this is, you know, a bit over 25 years, you know, of pivots and changes since then. And as a serial entrepreneur, what I think is so cool is as I've found gaps and, you know, in the marketplace or opportunities within my own businesses, that's often turned into launching a new business or testing out an idea to see if it's got legs or if it's a good idea. And after the incubation, launching that as its own business as well. And it's been really fun to do it that way.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a great way to start. You start early and you build up that that muscle in your brain where, you know, you can overcome a lot of challenges that go with starting maybe later in life. Jeremy, I'd like to ask you about what are some of the differences between working in and on your business? Because a lot of people are a little bit confused about that process and don't really know the difference. And if you could just explain that to us.
For sure. So when we talk about working in your business versus on, this really comes down to the kind of work you're doing, right? Especially for our more technical founders who have started a business, doing a trade or doing a service that they themselves perform. That's the work in the business, right? So if you start a plumbing business, right, the work in the business is doing the actual plumbing work, right? So if you have an agency and you're working directly with your clients, that's doing the work in the business. Now, contrast that with the work on the business. These are the things that can really help you to grow the business strategically. This might be working on your systems, working on your hiring, working on your planning, your product roadmap, your strategy, all those things that can help the business to really grow and become more self-sustaining. That's the critical work on the business that is so important for us business owners. If we create the time to do that work on our business, then we won't need to do as much work in the business because we'll have the systems and people in place to help out.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, but a lot of us working on our business, we can find that a bit challenging. You know, so what steps can we do and to use a stronger workflow to so that it's not so onerous?
Yeah, so the first real big step there comes down to that time blocking, right? Many business owners, especially more solopreneurs, start their day in a firefighting mode, right? It's the checking the messages and the emails and, you know, what clients have reached out to you and just jumping into the fray and getting done everything that needs to get done because you wear all the hats and you have to do all the things. And at the end of the day, you probably haven't moved that much further forward. You've just taken care of whatever's been thrown your way. Contrast that with being more intentional and actively blocking the time in your calendar and schedule to do the work that's important on the business, right? So sometimes for our, you know, burning out, overworked entrepreneurs, this can be a matter of once a week blocking out an hour or two, right? And then grow that, right? Grow that to half a day, grow that to an hour every morning, grow to one day a week, right? Build up to the point that it becomes habit and schedule and blocked on your calendar. So nothing is scheduled over it. And ideally, schedule this at a time before you're jumping into seeing what fires await you for the day, right? With that clear space from the business, you can do the important work you need to do on the business so that you're not stuck working in it for so long.
Yeah, it's really important for us as entrepreneurs to actually work on our business and not work in it. And, you know, this is where delegation, if you're working in a larger team, and, you know, if you're working by yourself, it's where you, you know, get a virtual assistant or that type of outside assistance that you can use to, you know, better, it can only help better your business. It can also help you with your own time. So you've got more time with family and friends.
Yeah. Well, so what you're talking about right there is starting to build out that team, right? And doing exactly that helps you to effectively buy back your time. There's a founder I was working with who was wearing all the hats in the business. And one of those hats was being the frontline customer service. So when clients needed him, he was there to take care of them. And this was also a guy who loved mountain biking. So he loved being out in nature. That was good for not just his physical health, but his mental health, his wellness. And, you know, our listeners, we know we sometimes get our best business ideas when we're not in the business, but actually away from it, right? So him getting outdoors was so, so important for him and his well-being. Problem was, he needed to be there all the time, ready to answer that phone and take care of his clients. So one of the first hires that we helped him out with was getting an outsourced freelancer full-time working for him to be that frontline customer service, answer the phone calls, respond to some emails, and so on. That freed him up to do the more important things in the business, as well as get back to nature. Suddenly he can work on things like sales, which is really important for a newer business, product roadmap, product development, hiring, all the rest of the things that can really grow the business. He can now put his attention towards because he bought back that time. And that is so, so valuable.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Now, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what is the difference between being self-employed and being a true business owner? Because some people get a little bit confused about that.
You know, it's interesting. For our listeners who aren't familiar with Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, he talks about, you know, this journey from being an employee to self-employed to the other side of the quadrant of a business owner and an investor, right? Now, even though there's just the simple quadrant right on the cover of the book, what's not shown in that graphic is how big that chasm is between being self-employed and a business owner. So let's talk about that journey for a second. Many founders have worked in a job, and then they go out and they start their own business. What they quickly find, however, is they're working longer hours than when they had a job. They're working harder. They're more stressed out. And they've taken on all the liability and risk that comes with starting a business. And they're often even making far less. So they've got like the worst parts of owning a business and the worst parts of having a job. right? So when we move from that mode of being self-employed towards being a true business owner, a lot of that comes down to our time, right? So the litmus test we like to use is asking how much time you can step away from your business. Can you step away from your business for a day or two or a week or a month, a quarter? And know that when you come back, your business will be the same as when you left it or ideally better, right? So what's interesting, if we unpack that a little bit, is in order to truly step away from your business for an extended period of time, it means not only do you have the right systems that are proven out in place, you have the right team members and people in place, and the business is not highly dependent upon you. Now you have an income producing asset, right? Now you have a business that you absolutely can work in, but you don't have to, right? You as the business owner make money from the profits that come out of the business, as well as from your paycheck for doing the work that you do within the business. If you're on the self-employed side, you can't step away from the business for very long, typically not more than a day or so. That's because you don't usually have the systems in place, the people in place, right? You also might not be financially set up to do that. And the business might not be generating enough profits for you as an income producing asset. So really that boils down to how much time can you take away from the business, truly unplug from it, knowing you can come back to the same or better business.
Absolute sense. I mean, you know, a lot of us classify ourselves as self-employed, and you're right. You, being self-employed, you haven't got that luxury of having a, you know, 6-week holiday or whatever, but being a business owner, if you've got processes and in place, then yes, you can step away and you'll know that your business is still going to be there in 6 weeks time.
You know, sometimes we go about this intentionally, right? For many business owners, they sort of are thrown into this world and only later on realize they've got the worst of this both worlds and then want a way out, right? And that's an intentional change of wanting to create a true business. Other times it happens by circumstance. You know, one of my clients I was working with had a business and he built up quite a great team, and they were doing, you know, on-site construction demolition work with homeowners, right? The business kept growing, was doing really well. And he was out at a job site one morning, writing up an estimate for a client they were going to be working with. And from up the hill comes the trailer with one of those Bobcat excavators in the back, rolling down the hill. And he looks up in time to see the trailer hit him, knock him over, and drag him down the street. And when he comes to in the intensive care unit, not only are there, you know, was there blood everywhere and broken bones and punctured organs and all kinds of terrible things, right? This was a business that so depended on his physicality, right? Not just him physically being there, but his strength and his ability to just jump in and do things. So he's laid up in a hospital room and he's got guys that going out to the job site doing work. He's got estimates to write up and all the different things in the business that require him. So he had a choice to make, right? And in his case, what he decided to do was bring in technology solutions. So now his workers could check in on the job site from their phone instead of having to check in personally with him. He brought in systems in terms of how to write up sales estimates and how to do the whole sales process. And he hired someone to go do sales and take care of that in-person work. And something really interesting happened. First of all, the sales guy he hired started doing a better job than he was doing, which is huge. And there's a really important takeaway there, which is hire people who are better at the work than you are, right? The second thing is, because of circumstance, he couldn't put as many hours into the business. So even though his expenses went up, his profitability also increased and his time going into the business went down. So his effective hourly rate as the business owner went up, right? Mm-hmm. And that is really approaching that equation from both ends. So a good metric for our listeners we can look at is, you know, the profitability that you take out of the business in the form of a dividend, right, aside. Look at the money that you're making from the business and the time you're putting in. For many business owners, they make less than a minimum wage. They'd be better off getting an entry-level job than running the business they're running, right? But it doesn't have to be that way. And so the two ways you approach that equation, right, of your money per hour is you can increase the profitability in the business. And that's what my decades of work is around, is helping business owners to increase that profitability, right? And you can also decrease the hours you're putting in. Adjusting either one or both of those drastically improves that number of how you are doing in the time you put into your business.
Yeah, that makes a heap of sense. I mean, and you know, a lot of us as business owners all don't want to take that leap and employ people because, well, one, they think that no one can do it as well as we can. But as you alluded to, it's better to find someone that can do it better than you. And that's what makes a great team anyway, that you allow other people to shine within the organization. But in the long run, the money that you spend on new hires, you're right, can bring more profit to your business because things are going a lot more smoothly, and you know, you're finding ways of I guess increasing the workflow.
Yeah. Well, so when you bring on other people to help you out, right, it starts to free you up. It also allows people to specialize. See, when you're the business owner doing all the roles, you need to know how to do everything, and you're probably not doing most of them wonderfully. You might have a few areas where you excel, but everything else you're doing because there is no other option. As you start to bring on those specialists to help out, you can now specialize, but more importantly, they can as well. So very often we see as like those first hires, right? There's sort of three ways to get stuff done in the business if you're not going to do it yourself, right? You can insource it in terms of hiring an employee or an internal team member. You can work with a vendor or an agency or a company that does this thing, right? Or you can outsource to a VA or a freelancer or someone to do that particular work for you. Those are all good solutions, and you can choose what makes the most sense. For some roles in your business, especially early on, they might not be full-time roles, right? So for example, a very common one is bookkeeping and taking care of the books and accounting for the company. This is for a new business, not a full-time job, but you can very easily find freelancers, right? And companies that'll gladly take on that work for you. And now you're not worrying about that, right? Customer service is another important one. Sales you can do, but that usually comes later on, depending on what kind of industry you're in, right? But all these different roles, whether it's an admin or a VA or someone, starts to free you up to do more important work. One of my clients I was working with, in his business, the biggest way he generated business was from outbound sales calls. He would call on companies by phone, and every day he'd pick up the phone and he'd make phone calls. This is how he would then set appointments and then have those sales calls later on and get new clients into his firm. Well, wouldn't you know it, the most logical next hire for him was to hire someone to just make those calls. And their sole role wasn't to do the sales call, right? That was still his specialty, but they were to sit there and make those calls, find out about if that prospect was qualified or not, and if they were, to then set that sales appointment. So suddenly, the call volume about tripled from what they could do outbound, because now instead of this being one of his jobs as the business owner, it was one person's dedicated 40-hour a week job to make those outbound calls and set those appointments. Now, he didn't have to make those initial calls. He could just get on the sales calls, even if that other appointment setter was half as effective as he was, right? He still tripled the volume of the calls that were going out. And so the calendar was getting more sales calls, and he could focus on the higher value work in the business. Now, with training and so on, that appointment setting ratio can actually get better. But more importantly, there's a system there. Now you can throw more people at that, and you can have more appointment setters lining up and filling the calendar for sales calls. And next thing you know, instead of sitting there making, dialing all day long, you're just going from sales call to sales call. And what a difference that made in the business.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's horses for courses, really, isn't it? I mean, if you're not good at sales, like I'm not, I don't like making sales calls at all, you know, there'd be benefit in me actually hiring someone to do that for me. So yeah, I get the idea. It's just the fact that, you know, a lot of us just don't want to let go of that thing, but it does take up all the time. I mean, sales calls take time. And this time that you could spend on other things.
Absolutely.
So, how, as a business owner, can we get unstuck? I mean, how do we become unstuck in our business, especially, you know, if we feel a bit stalled or there's a, you know, business comes to a bit of a plateau?
Yeah, so all of our businesses grow in these different curves, right? Sometimes ups and downs, right, with seasonality or whatever's going on. But if we zoom out in general, when we see growth, it comes in these S curves. We all love that idea of that hockey stick growth where sort of everything just goes up and to the right. Well, if you fast forward in time, that up and the right at some point starts to flatten out and becomes a plateau. So our goal as a business owner is to stack these S-curves up. So as one's plateauing, the next one's taking off. But that takes strategy, right? And planning and being proactive, not just reactive. Because it's not a matter of if we get that plateau, all businesses of all sizes do hit that. So how do we get unstuck? Well, one of the great ways is by, you know, seeking outside help, right? One of my favorite ways to do this is surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals, right? These are other entrepreneurs on that same path as you. They're also moving towards that entrepreneurial freedom and are scaling and growing their business. They're just seeing success in different ways than you are, right? This lets you leverage their best practices. This lets you hear right from them what's working, what's not, and really shortcut your path to success by implementing their keys to success in your own business. The journey to entrepreneurship is often very lonely, but it doesn't have to be. You can go on that journey with others who are going to that same destination as you are.
Yeah. And networking really is an important part of having a business. I think, you know, getting those ideas, as you said, from others that you could perhaps implement into your own business. And, you know, it's not something to be frightened of. I mean, even if you're, you know, quite shy, you can put yourself out there, you know, get out of that comfort zone and, you know, step into the business world and, you know, find your confidence.
Yeah. And when we think about networking, right, there's all kinds of, you know, ways to meet other folks, you know, who are out there running their business. If you're going to a networking event where all everyone wants to do is exchange a business card and sell you their services, right? Like that is good in some ways, but that's not the same as like getting together behind closed doors on an ongoing basis where you can really speak about what's authentically going on in your business with that real transparency, share the real numbers, share the real challenges, and also share the real wins, right? It's challenging because as a business owner, who do you really talk to about the challenges you're facing or the wins that you're getting as well, right?
Yeah.
It's usually, you know, you don't usually get the same kind of support you need if you're talking to family or friends or employees or vendors or things like this. But when you talk to other business owners who are also open to sharing in that closed door environment, that is so, so powerful because you get that support, the acknowledgement of all that you've done and that all that you've accomplished, and the resources and tools and connections you need to get unstuck and unblocked. Because I will tell you this, whatever challenge you're facing, whether it's in your family, in finances, in health, in life, in business, whatever it is, rest assured someone has been there before and gotten to the other side successfully. You don't need to go out alone. Get the support you need. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals who are growth-focused entrepreneurs like you.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes if you can't, you know, get to networking events because of time constraints for whatever reason, there's always mentors and coaches out there like Jeremy. And, you know, it really doesn't hurt your business if you reach out to them and, you know, find that one that really suits you.
Exactly.
So, Jeremy, do you have anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, you know, usually I always love as a closing thought that idea around entrepreneurship doesn't need to be a solo sport, right? It's more fun as a team sport, meaning you have a team member supporting you. It's also more fun when you're working with others who are also on that same path. A lot of the best practices and tactics that I've learned, you know, from working with clients for the past few decades here on their businesses in all sorts of ways, I've actually realized a lot of the commonalities and frameworks, and that's a lot of what's going into my book that's coming out soon. So, you know, for our listeners who are curious about that, I'm happy to share, you know, share more on that and how you can apply those best practices with a tactical playbook, not just, you know, not just theory, but the actual practical playbook.
Yeah. And we all need those little, you know, steps to take. You know, sometimes we're a bit unsure of ourselves and, you know, having, you know, a book like yours out that we can read and we can keep with us and, you know, refer back to when we get a little bit stuck or a bit unsure.
Yeah, it's funny. I've large shelves of wonderful business books that have been so valuable to me over the years. And I love going back to books I've read before. And, you know, I'm sure you've had this experience. You reread a book that you haven't read in a while and you wonder, like, who snuck into your bookshelf at night and put that new chapter in there that wasn't there the last time? Right. Sometimes, you know, books or courses or people are sharing things that are so valuable. It's just not what we need in that exact moment in time. But when we go back and give that a re-listen or a reread, we discover what was there all along that now is everything we need.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you can find Jeremy on Facebook at Bay Area Mastermind. He's on LinkedIn, Jeremy Shapiro. His website is bayareamastermind.com. He's on Instagram. He's on LinkedIn as Bay Area Mastermind as well, and his company page. And he's got an events page as well as bayareamastermind.com/events. Now, do you have something, you've got a product here or the areamastermind.com? What can people find on your website, Jeremy?
Yes, you'll find a ton of great content. I love writing up the stories of folks who, you know, who are on this path and are winning, right? And finding their way towards that entrepreneurial freedom. So you'll find a lot of those stories there to read. I also love writing about a lot of our best practices. We have a ton of great content and articles there. For those who are curious about our book that's coming out, you can also, that's right there on the website, you know, bayareamastermind.com/book. You can get on that pre-launch list, get early access to some of the content and join me on that journey as well. And of course, those who are looking to start a mastermind group, find out more about masterminds, join masterminds and so on, we have tons of information on the site about that as well.
Wonderful. Yeah. So go and check out bayareamastermind.com for all the resources that Jeremy's just mentioned. Jeremy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I look forward to perhaps having you on again another day.
I love it, Rose. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I love what you've been putting together. And it's great to be part of the community of entrepreneurs and listeners that you have.
Wonderful. You have a great day.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.